The same good God who gave us the gospel also gave us the law, and he loves his law as much as he loves his gospel. In fact, neither can be fully understood or appreciated without seeing the relationship between the two. Recovering the doctrine of the law and gospel is essential to living well in the world that God has made. Join us for the National Founders Conference, January 21st through the 23rd of 2027, as we look at the scriptures to study not only the great gift of the gospel to us, but the usefulness and goodness of God's law that caused the psalmist to say, "Oh, how I love your law." You can find out more information and register for the conference at founders.org/conference. Use code FOUNDERS at checkout to save 10% on your registration. Welcome to the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. This ministry exists to provide coaching, resources, and events for pastors and church members. My name is Jared Sparks. Join me as I talk pastoral ministry, applied theology like manhood and womanhood, political theology, and cultural analysis with a little bit of hunting and fishing thrown in. I'm a husband, a father, and a pastor, and I'm here to remind you of the chief pastor and our King, Jesus. Check 1, 2, check 1, 2, check 1, 2. Welcome back. This is the Shepherd's Crook. I think this is episode 615, 600 and something, whatever the number is. If I got it wrong, my bad. We're going to be talking about regulative principle pastoring today. We're in that series again on what does the Bible prescribe a pastor to be and do. Today, we're considering ministry of the word and prayer, which is our third pastoral priority. So let's go ahead and pray, ask for God's help, because that's what we do. We're devoted to prayer and ministry of the word. So let's go. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we just thank you for this time. Ask for help and blessing. We trust you're going to give it. God, we are dependent. That's why we pray regularly, daily. That's why we keep coming back to you as elder teams, why we keep coming back to you as Christians, as fathers. We just need you. Holy Spirit, lead us. Lead me even now. I trust you will. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, guys, hope things are good in your life. Things have been going well on my end. Ready to get back into this series. And, you know, we're talking about what a pastor is to be doing according to God's word. There's many things that a pastor can do to fill his day up, but the question is he doing what God has told him to do, or is he doing just whatever there is for him to do to feel like he's earning a paycheck? So the point three, or the third pastoral priority we're getting to today, comes directly out of the book of Acts. Let me go ahead and turn there, and we see what was happening in the book of Acts with the selection of deacons. Deacons were selected by the congregation, brought before the apostles. And then what is it the apostles say that they need to do? In verse 4, we will devote ourselves to prayer and the service or ministry of the word. Later on in the text, we hear the same thing. We see that they were doing that. They actually were able to do this, and that the people were very pleased because of their devotion to prayer and ministry of the word. This is a thing that's always going to be present in the life of pastoral ministry. It's preaching God's word. We're never going to grow past or out of preaching. And prayer. We're never going to grow out of prayer. There's never going to be a time in the history of the world where ministers of the gospel are not also men who are men of prayer. Because prayer and ministry of the word, when you boil it down to it, this is a foundational, functional work of pastoral ministry. You can't do it. You can't function as a pastor without preaching and without prayer. So we're going to break this down. We're going to see how this applies, not just to the apostles, because when we see in Acts chapter 6, it's the apostles who went to the church, and then the church selected deacons, and then they had their devotion. So apostles and elders, is that a one-to-one? Well, in 1 Peter chapter 5, we see that the apostle Peter calls himself a fellow elder. And so that's one of the connecting points where we see that some of the things that were applying to the apostles, some of them actually were transferable, where Peter saw himself as both an elder and an apostle. So when we consider these words in this order of priority here for apostles, we also transfer that over into pastoral ministry and say, this is a one-to-one. This is not just for those original apostles, but this is also in perpetuity a work of pastoral ministry because of the commands that have been given to pastors. We can see that that applies in Acts chapter 6 to all of us who are commissioned into the ministry. And so when we look at that, we have to ask, what does it look like then to prioritize prayer and preaching? So let's talk about prayer first. What is prayer? Well, prayer is not to be done on the street corner to be seen by others. Matthew chapter 6 tells us Jesus is giving instruction on prayer, and he tells us that if we stand on the street corner to be seen by others, then we have our reward, which is the reward of others looking at us and saying, wow, look at that guy's prayer life. And we always want to say, I mean, this is, I think, a good barometer. Is your public prayer life more significant than your private prayer life? Because you should have both. You should have public and prayer life, because there should be a devotion to public prayer as well, even in a pastoral prayer. But our life should be marked by this dependency of crying out to God, our Father. We have this great privilege as children of God, as men of God, to pray to our Heavenly Father, to go to God, not just as some abstract reality, but as a real God, the God of the universe, the Most High, that we have a relational relationship with because of what Christ has done. So in pastoral ministry, just the simple fact that we are Christian men means that we go to the Lord in prayer about everything, and we don't cease to pray. When any situation comes up throughout the day, I can't tell you, and I know in your life, you can't tell me exactly how many times you pray throughout the day, because it's literally all day long. Silent prayer, vocal prayer, moments that you have when you're thinking about discipling and disciplining your children, moments in ministry where you're sitting across and there's a discipleship moment with a couple you're counseling and you have no idea what to tell them, and you're in prayer and just asking God to help you and give you wisdom and insight into the situation. When you're studying to preach that week, and you're looking over the text at the beginning of the week, and it's a blank canvas, and you've got your manuscript in front of you or your outline in front of you, and there's no words on the page, and you're reading through and you're praying through, and you got a couple question marks about a few verses in the text you're preaching, and you know you've read them before, you've kind of worked through it before, but now you've got to do it again, and you're like, okay, wait, when it comes to preaching, do I really understand this verse? And what do? You're dependent upon the Lord, you pray. And then when you wake up in the morning, what do? You pray. When you go to sleep at night, what's the last thing you do generally? Well, we pray, because that's what we are. We're men of prayer. There's also situations within the church, because generally pastors know more about the most amount of people within the church than anybody else. You know what's going on and you know what to be praying for at any given time. You can know a bunch of different people in the church, what their prayer requests are, and you're going to be praying for them. As the Lord reminds you of them, you're praying for them, and you're praying for them on the spot. You're always modeling, well, if you need prayer, let's pray right now. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. It doesn't have to be a long prayer. In the name of Jesus, we can boldly go before the throne of grace, and we can just pray about that situation right now. So when we think about the church having joy about the apostles, and therefore the elders having a devotion to prayer, and deacons in place so that devotion can be there, then we've got to utilize that tool and that basic relational component of walking with the Lord and be men of prayer. We pray regularly. That's what we do. And so if a pastor is going to do what God has called him to do, then he's going to be devoted to praying to God. That's going to be a part of his work. It's his devotional life, but it's also a part of his work. So regularly and daily, the man of God, the churchman, the called man is going to be praying. That's what we do. So there is a devotion to prayer. When does prayer show up? It shows up in discipleship. It shows up in the ministry of the word side of things when you're asking for the Lord's help. It shows up when it comes to church on Sunday morning, on the Lord's Day, when you're praying for people. It comes up throughout the week when you get a text message from somebody. Prayer is just the way of our life. Now, let's think about, because we're devoted to prayer and ministry of the word or service of the word, this is broader than just preaching. It certainly includes preaching, but it's not just preaching. So let's break it down to preaching and discipleship. And, you know, discipleship happens in the context of preaching, of course. But what do we get from 2 Timothy chapter 3 and going into 4? I'm actually getting to preach this on Wednesday night. All scriptures God-breathed and profitable for teaching. So let's just stop there. Everything in the Bible, all of it, is profitable for teaching. It's all preachable, it's all teachable, and it's all profitable for the people of God. All of it. There's none of it that's arbitrary. There's none of it that's tertiary. We need it all. All of God's word is profitable. And it's profitable for what? Reproof and correction, training in righteousness, that the man of God may be equipped, having been thoroughly equipped for every good work. Okay, that's what the word of God is there for. And then, I solemnly charge you, this is to Timothy, in the presence of God and Jesus Christ, who is a judge living in the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience in the teaching. So here's where we get the devotion to the ministry of the word, right here. Preach the word, there's preaching. And then on the backside of preaching the word, be ready in season and out, reprove, rebuke, exhort, great patience in the teaching. Go back to verse 16 and 17. This is where you have discipleship. So we're going to break this down. The ministry of the word is going to be preaching and discipleship, all that we do. Now you could say, okay, what about counseling, Jared? Well, there isn't a category biblically for this thing called counseling. We're just going to put it in the category of discipleship, because when you're giving pastoral counsel to a young man who's wanting to know what to do in his life, or a married couple who's dealing with issues and you're doing marriage counseling, or you're talking to a young couple that's getting ready to get married and you're doing premarital counseling, what are you doing essentially? It is giving counsel, but you're doing in the work of ministry of the word in the area of discipleship. This is training them up and teaching them to walk with the Lord according to the precepts of God. And so that category of counseling, I'm just putting in discipleship, and we want to be faithful with all of that, of course. So let's go preaching first. What does the life of a pastor look like? Now, I'm going to just give the example from my own life and ministry. And then other pastors, you know, are very much like this as well. I've got a pastor, my buddy of mine. I drop his name all the time on here, so I'm not going to drop his name again, but you know who you are. He's preaching Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. This is many men that are doing this. In fact, several guys that are listening to the show and are friends of the ministry are doing Sunday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, which requires, if you're going to be devoted to the preaching of the word and follow this command, that requires a lot of preparation, which means pastors are going to smell like sheep, but they're also going to smell like their office. They're going to smell like their desk. They're going to spend a lot of time alone with their Bible open. And they're going to study for what's going to be preached on Sunday morning. In my case, it's Sunday morning and Wednesday night. That's where I'm doing my preaching. So the first part of the week for me, Monday, Tuesday into Wednesday, is going to be preparation for Wednesday night sermon. The second part of the week from Thursday, and I usually try to get my outline done on Thursday, but since I've been doing Sundays and Wednesdays, it gets a little bit harder to get my outline done on Thursday. I'm preparing for through into the weekend, and I'm preparing to preach on Sunday mornings. I utilize the mornings a lot. I get up and get going really early. School has just started again, so I really have to prioritize early mornings to do a lot of work and get some things done before the family gets up, kids get up, school gets going. And that study time requires looking at the passage, writing out notes, putting together an outline, getting commentaries, reading commentaries, praying, asking for the Lord's help, continuing to go back to the text over and over again, changing things, modifying some things, saying, God, help me to be faithful to your text and to your word. And am I being faithful to what you have to say here? And you're looking and wanting to make sure that you're not saying anything novel, which is always so critical for me. I never want to say things that people would write down and say, okay, I wonder what commentaries would agree with that, and they wouldn't be able to find it, where it's just, oh no, this is just Jared's take on it. So when you're preparing to preach, you want to make sure that there's nothing novel in what you're preaching, but it is faithful and it's historic, because you want people to be able to see that your church and your preaching, there is some sort of accountability historically, where you're not standing alone among the people of God preaching a text in a way that nobody else has preached it before, in a way that nobody else has understood it before. So you want to be faithful there. In fact, what gives me great hesitation is any area of my life that I have a novel understanding of a particular text, I want to submit that to the scriptures, but also to faithful men around us, the elders that are on our in our church, the members that are in our church, and then also elders who have gone before us, great men who have gone before us. And if I'm seeing something differently that nobody else caught, then it's probably wrong. And a great, you know, example of that would be from Genesis chapter 3, where Adam and Eve and the devil are getting their judgment from God for their sin. And Eve gets this judgment that your desire shall be for your husband and he will rule over you. Well, the ESV is taking liberties. They've taken some liberties and put contrary in there in one of their versions. I forget. I think it was like their second version of the ESV. And that was a popularized view from the 1970s that desire means contrary to rather than just a desire for. And I have taken that newer position, and I've switched from that position over the last year or two, because it's such a new position. And the same way thing with eschatology or various other understandings of God's word, you want to be faithful historically as well. Not that church history is authoritative, but you just don't want to be a novel preacher. So when you're preaching, you don't want to preach things in a way that nobody else has said it before, because you want your congregation to know you're not just some preacher that's preaching whatever comes up in your mind and in your heart to say. You want to be faithful to what God has to say. So you're going to be, if you're a preacher, if you're going to be faithfully devoted to prayer and ministry of the word, then in your preaching, you're going to be diligent to preach as faithfully as you possibly can. And you want to get better over the years. If somebody hears you preach, even if you've been preaching, now I've been preaching for like 18 years. And I hope if somebody hears me preach today and they hadn't heard me preach for 10 years, that they would say, hey, you're a better preacher now than you were 10 years ago. And I hope in 10 years from now, somebody's able to say, you know, Jared, you're a better preacher now than you were 10 years ago. I mean, we all want to get better at preaching, I think. So we're going to be devoted to, we will devote ourselves to prayer and ministry of the word. Ministry of the word includes preaching and discipleship. Again, these are pastoral priorities. And then that area of discipleship. What does ministry of the word look like in the area of discipleship? Well, God's word is there for us. It's God-breathed, profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training. So if you think about your discipleship work with the men you're working with, the couples you're counseling, if there's grief counseling, what kind of grief counseling are you bringing? What kind of marriage counseling are you bringing? What kind of life counsel are you bringing for the young men who are looking for direction? Well, it must be rooted in God's word. That's what we go to. It's ministry of the word, not just the preaching of the word, but the work of the elder, the work of the pastor as prescribed by God. This regulative principle way of living, not just on Sunday mornings, but throughout the week, is that everything we do with people is rooted in God's word. God has called us to be students of the Bible to help people see how applicable that God's word is, because it equips us in every good work. So we're there to show them in our counseling, in our discipleship, this is how God's word equips you to do everything that he's called you to do. Every single good work he's prepared in advance beforehand for you to walk in now and in the future, well, the Bible is what equips you to walk in those things. And it's our job to keep going back to the word, to give counsel, advice, prayer. Our prayer is laced with biblical wisdom because we're trying to just steep in God's word every single day. This is pastoral ministry. Now, years ago, there was a book called Pagan Christianity, and there's always been, in the emergent church movement really picked up on this, a push away from preaching, as if this didactic way or this just one-on-one or one-man monologue to a group of people expositing the word is somehow pagan or unbiblical. And we go to the pages of the Bible, and what do we see? We see monologue preaching everywhere. We see the prophets doing it in the Old Testament. We see in the New Testament, Paul. We see Jesus. We see Stephen. We see Peter. We see examples of these kinds of sermons that are expositional. And then those that come along and say, no, that was just pagan. We're like, what are you talking about? Maybe these other people have been ripping off what God has established in the normative realm of things of how teaching and learning are to work. That there's a teacher with a hierarchy of authority here with giftings to teach that takes information and brings it to people with their mouth, using their reason and the power of the Holy Spirit to teach those that are being instructed. There's a teacher and an instructor. And a lot of the emergent church movement was just caught up into the idea that all hierarchy is bad and evil. And really, the authority is within the people. And so as you get a collective group in mind, you don't need anybody that's actually instructing. The instructors are in the pews. We're all working together here. And we don't actually need somebody to preach to us the word. But what does God say? Preach the word. That's what God's called us to do. So if we're going to be faithful to what God has called us to do in pastoral ministry, then it has to be a devotion to prayer and to ministry of the word, beyond just preaching, but into the discipleship and counsel of the people of God. I've tried to model this, by the way. I don't know if you know, but there's not too many podcasts that open with prayer. I've never really explained why I do that, but for 600 and something episodes now, we've started with prayer. Why do I do that? Why? It's because with everything I do, I want to be prayerful. I mean, I always want the Lord's help. My prayers often sound the same. They're quick because we're told for them to be quick. We're not trying to get God's attention by our just lofty words and speech. I mean, he's not impressed with our prayers in that way. But a humble prayer and petition, God, would you please help me in this? Why do we pray before we eat a meal? Because Jesus does this at the Passover after giving thanks. God, you have provided this. So this is our life, prayer and ministry of the word, because God has told us to be devoted to prayer and ministry of the word. Okay, guys, hope you have a great rest of your day. Thanks for listening.